Take your Bibles tonight, turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we are in the 17th stanza. Last week, we talked about the Word and its potential and its ability to deliver. And we went through Psalm 119, verses 121 through 128. And we need to understand that the truth of God's Word delivers those oppressed by those living the lie. There's a lot of people living a lie out there. And they will oppress the truth. So, in review, in verses 121 through 123, we see a dire concern. We see in the first part of 121, his perseverance. The psalmist says, I have done judgment and justice. Folks, if we want God to work, we need to live for him. And we need to have confidence that we are doing that. In verses 121, the last part of it, to 122, we see his plea. He says, boy, can I get a word? Okay. I need your presence. In verse 122, in the first part, he says, I need a pledge from you to show that yourself strong. And then in verse 122, the last part of it, he says, I need your protection from the wicked's derision, from their lies, from the perverse dealings, and from their traps. And we've seen him pray these same prayers over and over in this chapter. Verse 123, we see his plight. He says, my eyes fail for thy salvation. Have you ever come to a point that you think that God's not listening? That God doesn't see? He sees. But sometimes it doesn't feel near to us. And so that's what the psalmist is doing here. And so he tells his plight to God. It's okay to tell God that. But it's not okay to stay like that. Because we know the promises of God. And we need to follow them. He has a desperate cry in verses 124 through 126. He cries for his will, for God's will to be done. He says, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. And then he goes on, he says, for your way. He says, and teach me thy statutes. He says, I am thy servant. Okay? Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. And then verse 126, he wants a cry for God to work. He says, now it's time to work. And we talked about that when we have a situation, God might solve it a way that we're used to, but he might create a new way. And that's what this verse is talking about, that he's creating a new way to get him out of his plight. And then verses 127 through 128, we see the last section here. And it's basically his discerning claim. He says in 127, I said, I know what's truly valuable. Your word is more command. I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. And then in verse 128, he says, I know what is truly right. He says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be what? Right. We can't question God. If you start questioning God, you're going down the wrong path. And then the last thing is, he says, I hate every false way. So tonight we're going to look at verses 129 through 136. And it's the wonder or the awe of the Word of God. And we need to understand the Word of God should encourage us to have a deeper relationship with God. Every time we open up God's Word, it should draw us closer to Him. Every time we open up God's Word, we want to have more. The letter, the 17th letter, is the letter P, P-E. And it translates as mouth. Okay? As mouth. Now remember, Christ said this. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaking. It says it's not what... It's what the mouth says that tells us how we really are inside our heart. And so, the psalmist here is wanting to have a deeper relationship. He's still being oppressed. And so, in verses 129 through 136, he says this. He says, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth, and there's the key verse right there for this letter, and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do to those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. So we see three things in this passage. The first thing we find in verses 129 through 131 is that God's word causes spiritual life. I was reading the Tuesday update from the Moors in Portugal. And they've been asking for prayer for this man by the name of Pedro. And Pedro had just started coming to the church and just got baptized. He's a growing Christian. But a year before this, he basically was having problems. And someone gave him a Bible. And he read it from cover to cover. Now, there's a lot of Christians that haven't done that. But he found out that he needed to be saved. He found out that after he got saved, he needed to be baptized. He found out that he needed to be discipled. And he started watching the Moors webcast. And he watched their church webcast for a year. And then came to the church. And he was already prepared and already discipled. And he says, I want to join and I want to get in. That was all done by the Word of God, folks. The Word of God causes spiritual life. And the first part of it is because of wonder. He says, thy testimonies are wonderful. They should be awe-inspiring. And when we look at this about God's Word, we know that the wonder of God's Word is exclusively God's. It's exclusively God's. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 14, he says, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a what? A marvelous work among this people. Even a marvelous work and a what? A wonder. Something you've never seen before. Last stanza was a remedy or a deliverance that he'd never thought of before. Now it says here, for the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent men shall be hid. We know in Corinthians that the preaching of the cross is, the gospel is foolishness to those who are wise, but unto us it's the power of salvation. These are exclusively God's purview. It's God's word. It's God's creation. It's God's power. It's God's magnificence and being that should leave us awestruck. And what he says here in verse 129, he says, thy testimonies are wonderful, and it causes him to want them even more. He says, this wonder should elicit praise from me. In Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done what? Wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And then the last thing here, as we see, it says, therefore doth my soul keep them. You know, when we read God's Word, we should have a respect for God's Word. It should make us want God's Word. And we should perform God's Word. And so it elicits performance. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13, we went through the book of Proverbs. And it talks about wisdom. And it talks about instruction. And it talks about understanding. In verse 4:13, it says this, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, what? And keep her. For she is thy life. There is no spiritual life outside of the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And it's wonderful. And it's wonderful. And we see how wonderful God's word is. It should elicit praise out of us. It should elicit a following of it. And so we see here in 129, through wonder. In verse 130, we see through revelation. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth life. Now, this entrance is not coming in. It's a doorway or an unfolding. An unfolding. And so it's basically a doorway to God for us. We can't understand God unless we read the Bible. And every time we read the Bible, it should be wonderful. And every time we read the Bible, we should want to read it more. You know, we have these novels that we start reading and we just can't put it down. That's the way the Word of God should be. It's a doorway to God for us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye what? Take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, have you ever been on a night that's really, really dark? And you left the house lights on, and when you open the door, what do you get? You get this shaft of light coming out. And so that's the picture that we want here. The entrance or the opening of God's Word, the unfolding, should have this shaft of light coming out from God that we can see this. And then not only is it a doorway for us, the second thing is a determination by God for us. He says, it giveth understanding unto the simple. So the thing that we need to understand here is that what is understanding? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that keep his what? His commandments. And so what we need to understand is what Christ said. In John chapter 8, verse 12, says this. He says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the what? The light of the world. Anytime that we see a picture of heaven or revelation about God and his throne, it's all about what? Light. In him there's no darkness at all. It says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then the last thing is, it basically gives us a direction. A direction for us. He says, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, God can make geniuses, but you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to trust him just like a little child. You know what? We get all messed up when we start thinking about it. When we start keeping our own mindset into it. That's when we mess up. That's why we have all these other belief systems out there, because they just can't handle the fact that God is God and we're not. They can't handle the fact that God created everything and we didn't. They can't handle the fact that God is all powerful and we're not. They can't handle the fact that there's absolute truth. They can't handle the fact that there's absolute righteousness. Folks, we need to be simple concerning these things. And so, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 9 says this. They are what? All plain. Talking about the commandments and the testimonies of God. They are all plain to him that what? Understandeth. You know something? If you don't read, if you read something in the Bible and you don't understand it, you need to be awestruck by it. You need to start getting thirsty for it. You need to read some more. And keep on reading it. And the Holy Spirit will what? Teach us to do all things. He'll reveal all things. They are plain to him that understandeth, and write to them that find knowledge. So God's Word causes spiritual life because it's a wonderful thing. God's Word causes spiritual life through His revelation. We don't understand God unless we know this. I have not seen the glory that He has. Then the last thing is, God's word causes spiritual life through desire. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. These three words here, opened, panted, long, all talk about desire. They all talk about desire. And so, in the first, and there's two pieces here, we should have enough desire for God's word, like thirst. Like thirst. Now, if you saw this verse, and you've been in church for any length of time, you probably, maybe the chorus came to your mind in Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart, or as the deer, panteth after a water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. So see, God's word causes spiritual life, because it's wonderful. God's word causes spiritual life because it reveals who God is. And then it causes a desire in our life like thirst. It causes a desire in our life like hunger. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after for righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Job says, I esteem the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. In Psalm 119, verse 40, he says, behold, I have longed. The same word that's right here, for I have longed. I have desired, greatly desired. You know, Paul talked about longing to see his friends in the ministry. It's that long. You always long to see your friends. You know, some deep, best friend. So this is what it says here. He says, behold, I have longed after thy what? Precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. So what does quicken mean in the spiritual sense? To bring to life. To take something that was dead and make it alive. To create a new thing. A wonderful thing as God reveals himself. So it's like hunger in John chapter 6, verse 63. This is where Christ was talking about, you got to eat my flesh. And he basically says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth what? Nothing. You can't do anything good in your flesh except it's done by revelation of God, by the word of God, through the spirit of God. The words, what? The words that I speak unto you, they are what? They are spirit. They are life. So it is God's word that causes spiritual life. Now in verses 132 through 135, God's word causes supplications. Now supplications are prayers to God on behalf of issues. Okay? On behalf of issues. In verse 132, the first part, it says, look thou unto me. He says, I want your presence. It gives a sense, this word for look means to turn around and look, to focus your gaze. David here wanted God's gaze on him. He says, look thou upon me. In Psalm 25, verse 16, same word for look. He says, turn unto thee unto me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. So his thirst for the word causes him to wonder at the word, causes him to understand God more through the word. And now he says, I need your presence. You know, we sing the song, I need thee what? Every hour. In the last part of this, it says, in the second part, it says, be merciful unto me. The word for merciful means asking for God's protection. It's the same word that's used in Isaiah 33, verse 2. O Lord, be gracious unto us. For we have what? Waited for thee. Be thou their arm how? Every morning, our salvation, also in what? Time of trouble. Have we gone through trouble? Yeah. Last night when the power goes off. Okay? And the car didn't start. You know, there's all sorts of things. Nolan and his man, they had all sorts of trouble with one tire. One tire. That led into a whole bunch of things. Car falling off the jacks. It was a mess. But you know, God gets us through this. God gets us through this. We need God's protection from ourselves. Okay? Because we're not the smartest creatures on the planet at times. So, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their horn every morning. Our salvation also in the time of trouble. And then the last part of 132 here, it says, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. And so he brings up the testimony of how God has worked in the past. And we need to understand that God's working in the past for other people. He's the same God. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, we need to pray for God's perseverance. You know, He will deliver. He delivered them. He will deliver us. And He will deliver us. Back in Judges chapter 6, the Midianites had basically overrun the Israelites. They were stealing their food, and they were stealing their herds and their flocks and everything. They couldn't get ahead. The Israelites couldn't get ahead. And so God raises up a deliverer, who is Gideon. And in Judges chapter 6, verse 13, Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which are what? Our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midianites. He's the same God. He will do the same delivery. It's not a problem with him. It's a problem with us. And the psalmist is going, look down unto me, okay, and be merciful to me, as thou used to do to those that love thy name. So she's like praying like Gideon prayed. He says, where are you, God? I need your direction. I need your deliverance. So he's praying here. He's praying for God's presence. He's praying for God's protection. He's praying for God's perseverance. And then the first part of 133, he says, order my steps in thy word. Now, to order means to direct. Okay? And Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says, a man's heart divideth his way. We choose what? Okay? We choose what we want to do. And it says, but the Lord directeth his steps. So, God's word causes supplication. So he's praying for God's presence. He's praying for God's protection. He's praying for God's perseverance and persistence on his behalf. He's praying for God's path. And in the last part of 133 to 134, he's praying for God's power. And folks, we need God's power every day. In verse 134, he says, verse 133, he says, and let not my iniquity, any iniquity, have dominion over me. So he's asking for God's power over personal sin. Here is a fundamental truth that a lot of people don't get. God can deliver you from anything. He can deliver you from habits. He can deliver you from addictions. He can deliver you from sin. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received them, to them gave he what? Power. To become the sons of God and to live as the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under what? But under grace. Have mercy on me. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me." John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, "And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." It's a done deal. It's a done deal. We need to live in the victory that God has already given us, as if it's already happened, and trust in that. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." But here's the key. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If you have little faith, you have little victory. If you have a lot of faith, you have a lot of victory. And if you have a lot of victory, you have a lot of power. And so he says, look, he says, "I need power in my life over personal sin." In verses 133, the last part of it, through 134, it says, "Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts." We need God's power not only over personal sin, but over people of sin. Over people whose main goal in life is just sin. We've seen that they're wicked. We're seeing that they're oppressors. We're seeing that they're against the truth. They're seeing that they lay traps for him. They keep him in derision. They keep all these things going on. Psalm chapter 26, verse 11. David writes, he says, "But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me." And we sang a song tonight. I have a song I love to sing, "Since I have been what? Redeemed." That's the word that deliver means. It means to be redeemed. It means to be taken out of this and to be put into a different state, and not to go back to that. Once again, back up in verse 132, it says, "As thou usest to do," it's like the manner of God. This is the method of God. In Exodus chapter 15, verses 11 through 14, Moses writes this. He says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods?" That's wonderful. That's wonderful. "Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth people, the people which thou hast what? Redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." Peter talks about, he says, that we live a life worthy of God, that we put to silence the naysayers. It says, "The people shall hear and be what?
Afraid.
Folks, God told the Israelites, he said, "You follow me, one of you chase 10. And 10 of you chase 1,000. We have the power of God in our lives. We can do remarkable things if we get a wonder of His Word. If we let His Word reveal Him. If we desire it. If we desire it." And so he's asking for God's power here. So he's asking God's presence. He's asking God's protection. He's asking God's perseverance. He's asking God's path. He's asking God's power. In verse 135, he asked for God's preference. Now, I know that God loves everybody. Doesn't want anybody to perish. But he has a special place in the heart for those who follow him. Okay? I know he reigns on the just and the unjust. But there's special blessings for those that are obedient to him. The whole Old Testament talks about that to the nation of Israel. 135, it says this, "Make thy face to shine upon my servant," okay, "and teach me thy statutes." So in order for this to happen, we need to be a servant. Okay? When you do a good job, you get rewarded. When you do a poor job, you don't. When you trust someone, they'll trust you back. When you don't trust them, they won't. Blessed are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Psalm 167, verse 1, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. You know, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, and God was establishing priesthood and everything, the priest had a greeting, had a salutation, which this verse goes back to. Make thy face to shine upon my servants. In Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 and 26, it says, this is the blessing that the priest was supposed to bless the people. It's the blessing that God blesses us. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Folks, if we run around having that attitude towards other people, it'll change the way you live. It'll give you a whole new perspective, because God will reveal himself. We'll see the wonder of his grace. We'll desire it. So, we need supplication for God to bless me. Okay? Not to bless us for our own personal use, but to bless us to glorify him. To bless us that we can be a vessel fit for his use. To bless us to have his power run through us. To bless us and help us to increase our faith. Because if you have a faith of grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. Is there anything too hard? Only God says that. And so we see here that God's word causes supplications. Lastly, God's word causes sorrow for those that are lost. We need to have a different perspective. You know, when some evildoer or some criminal gets sentenced, sometimes we say he got his what he wanted, deserved. Folks, we don't deserve God's mercy. We don't deserve God's grace. We deserve his judgment. It says here in verse 136, the first part, it says, rivers of waters run down my eyes. Let's talk about crying. Not just a little bit, but a whole lot. Basically, what he's asking for, give me compassion. God's word causes compassion for the lost. Just like Pedro, who battled God through the word. The words give us compassion. You know, when Christ was outside of Jerusalem, he was about ready to be crucified, he sits over, and he's telling the religious leaders, he's telling all that was in the earshot. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which were sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Folks, it's time to have compassion for the lost. It's time to have a heart that God has for the lost. Don't be content with the fact that you're going to heaven, and that's all you need. There's a whole bunch of people that need heaven, and they're going to hell. And we need that compassion. Do you cry over the lost? Do you cry over a wayward child? Do you cry over someone in your family that's walking away from God? Oh, folks, we need a compassion. We need to be in God's Word, and that will change our outlook. It says, the concern is because they kept not thy law. Paul is talking to Timothy and writing a letter to him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, he says this, and the servant of the Lord must not what? Strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. They don't even know what they're doing. And folks, that's the world that we live in right now. We live in a world where wrong is right and right is wrong. We live in a world that there are no absolutes. And that should bring us to our knees and should cause us to pray and cry out to God for deliverance and for revival and for God to intervene. It says, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, it's not our job to convert them. It's our job to tell them the truth. The truth will take care of itself. And God will take care of it. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So as we end this stanza here, the psalmist is crying. David is crying. He says, he's crying, but you know, I guess it's this, what did Christ say? Bless them that curse you. Bless them that despisefully use you. Bless and curse not. You know, Psalm 126, verse 5 says, those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And then the next one says, those go forth sowing very precious seed, weeping, or doubtless bring sheaves with them. A young boy noticed a large dust-covered book on a high shelf in his home. His curiosity was aroused, so he asked his mother about it. Embarrassed, she hastily explained, oh, that's God's book. He thought for a moment, then said, well, Mom, if that's God's book, why don't we give it back to him? Nobody around here uses it. That cannot be God's word for us. What we need to do is we need to ask this question. How do we wonder about God's word? Do we wonder about its righteousness and its truth and its all? Or do we wonder about how we can get around it? How we can cut corners? How we can think our way out of this to go another, to go the path that we want to go instead of the path that God wants us to go? How do we wonder about God's word? That's the request tonight. That's the decision we have to make tonight. But we need to be awestruck and thirst for it and let God reveal himself through his word. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for everything that you do. We thank you for your word. Lord, I just ask you for this time of invitation, Father, that you search our hearts, Lord, and just help us, Lord, to have a thirst for your truth. Have a desire to live it. Have a motivation to share it. Lord, just be with us tonight and just help us. Those here, those on the internet, Lord, I just ask, just change our lives and change us to be more like you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.